As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
阅读、科技、旅行，生活可以很大。对话设计、学习，思考不嫌太多。这里是 iTunes 获奖播客《狗熊有话说》，一听就停不下来的哦。
Hello， 你好，这里是独立知识型脱口秀狗熊有话说 Bear Talk， 我是大狗熊。因为 COVID-19 新冠肺炎病毒的影响呢，很多全世界各国的朋友啊，除了身在国内，或者是像狗熊一样在新西兰、在澳洲、在美国、在其他各国的朋友呢，工作和生活或多或少都受到了这个病毒的冲击和影响。那么对于很多领域来说，可能在工作上受到的冲击会特别大。有的人呢，也许受到了工作上的这个项目停摆，工作可能被裁员，遭遇了裁员、减薪，或者是减少了工作时间等等。在新西兰的这样的情况特别的普遍，在澳洲、在美国呢，也有很多朋友呢向我表达了他们类似的这样的一些经历和遭遇。那么也有很多人会对这样的一个不确定环境下的求职这件事情呢，会充满了各式各样的问题。在这样的一个不确定的时间段，工作还像以前那么好找吗？肯定不是了啊！其实这个问题我都可以直接回答，那么找工作的难度会变得越来越大，而且有很多以往没有面对的一些问题，比如说像视频面试可能会变成一个常态，像对语言的要求、对沟通能力的要求，也许会比以往来得更加的突出。那么这些问题怎么来看呢？我有一个在猎头领域非常的专业的朋友那么他在奥克兰的 SOT 这家猎头公司工作，是一位在英国、在澳洲、在新西兰都工作过的职业猎头顾问，叫做 Nikki Allen， 是一位 Kiwi。 那么他在这个领域有很多专业的一些见解，之前我和他聊了一些关于这个方面的话题，他觉得很愿意能够和我交流一下本地的新西兰本地目前在招聘和雇佣方面的一些现状，和一些他从这个猎头方面给出来的一些建议。如果大家感兴趣呢，可以继续往下收听。那么接下来这期节目呢，就是我和他的一次对谈。要特别说明的是，这期节目的录制时间呢，大概在4月22日。那么现在在放出这期节目的时候呢，已经过去了一个多月。那么事情呢，其实在这期节目里面描述的情况呢，比现在的这个实际的情况要 轻松很多，现状要更加的严峻。那么最近我和一些猎头和一些市场的各个市场的朋友有沟通的话，发现现在的经济上的寒冬呢，也许才刚刚开始。对新西兰是这样，对其他国家也许，更严重的或者更冷的冬天还会在后面。那么，希望大家听完这期节目能够有一些对你的帮助。OK， 接下来就让我们来一起收听 Nikki Allen 给我们的一些职业建议。
So before we started the topic, could you introduce yourself a little bit? Like, who are you and where are you working? Yeah,
absolutely. So I'm Nikki Allen and I work for Salt Recruitment. I specialize in the creative and experience space. So I've done recruitment in London and Sydney and now Auckland. Well, I say Auckland, I actually recruit for the whole of New Zealand, just the majority of my work is in Auckland. And I work with clients from big agencies and big companies sort of in-house, all the way through to the sort of two-man band. So yeah, there's been a lot of changes recently due to COVID-19, and I'm hoping that I can give some helpful insights.
Cool, thank you very much. And for the context, who's listening, we are all in our bubbles. Currently I'm working from home, as Nikki is the same. So because we're still in the level 4, everyone should stay in our own bubbles. So what's the impact for you, Nikki? Could you describe for your personal life and also for the industry, for your industry, what's the current impact and how do you deal with it?
Sure. So personally, I've been quite impacted by the coronavirus. So I'm originally from the UK. My mum is over there and currently has coronavirus. So it went from being something that I almost didn't believe a few months ago, and I thought, it won't be that big, to actually being very close to home and very real. So for me, I've seen a lot of changes in the way that a lot of people are working, and it has impacted myself. So, you know, sometimes I can't work as normal, to be honest. I'll be working for a solid few hours and then I need to go and have a walk or something quite, I need to go and do some sort of exercise or an activity. Usually in my day-to-day life, I'm pretty active. So I'll be going to client meetings, meeting with candidates on site and all those types of things. So with me not being able to do that, I've just had to deal with it in different ways by sort of keeping myself active, keeping myself in a routine and staying connected with my colleagues. And actually, I found it really helps to be honest about how you're feeling, because how you're feeling is more than likely how someone else is also feeling as well. So that's kind of how it's impacted me personally. For recruitment, it has definitely meant that we're not working business as usual. So due to obviously social distancing and self-isolation, it's caused companies to actually downsize. Some have even had to close doors, unfortunately, for a certain amount of time. So in my space in recruitment, which is normally a very candidate short space, the market pretty much flipped on its head within 48 hours. It was very driven by the jobs that were still active and open. And for our business, we have shifted. So we've always had almost a menu service as much as a full recruitment service, but it's just something that we've focused a little bit more on. So it's we can do part of the recruitment process. So we don't have to do end to end anymore. So we can actually just do just the references or just the sourcing or just a part of the recruitment process that can actually help our clients. So like I said, it's something that we've always offered, but right now it's looking a lot more attractive financially for companies, as well as companies who've had to cut down their internal recruitment staff as well. So yeah, I'd say that's how it's impacted the recruitment industry in my space and me personally.
Right. Thank you, man. That's really good to know, because from my imagination before, I just think from recruiting's perspective, it's really hard to keep in touch with candidates and also clients without meet them in person. And now it's more like we are all accelerated to use remote work as a standard for to reach out. But yeah, after that, I think deeply about that and feel it's more like the impact could be larger than just the way we communicate, and also could be for the industry or for different maybe for different people, like individually, like cost them their job or career would be changed. Yeah, so that's and before that, how you also mentioned that you based in Auckland. Basically, it's like recruiting for like across all the country, across New Zealand. And what was the business environment, or just the career atmosphere and all the job opportunities? Yeah, things like that from your perspective before COVID-19. And how about now? I mean, now it's more like after we get out of our bubbles, what could it be like a few weeks later? Yeah, could you describe it from your perspective?
100%. So before COVID happened, especially in the experience space, it was a space that was maturing and growing quite rapidly. So even within the 12 months I've been specializing in this area, I've seen it mature massively, and it's become a lot more well known as well, which is awesome. So the roles were getting, you know, there were more and more roles out there. They were being talked about in events. They were being, you know, being advertised on Seek, LinkedIn, through recruiters, things like that. And to be honest, New Zealand's a very exciting place to work because it has all these pilot projects, which I know these experienced professionals love to be part of a new challenge. And it was just it was a very exciting space to be in, to be working in New Zealand. There were plenty of jobs around and almost not enough people. So I did do a bit of a campaign to try and actually pull some talent from overseas into New Zealand to try and mm-hmm. Sort the gap out there. And now I would say the businesses have always been very adaptable in New Zealand in comparison to some other countries. So because some businesses are quite small, they've actually managed to adapt and pivot really well. I think moving forward, I'm definitely seeing a few trends emerge. So for maybe smaller to medium-sized businesses, they're realizing that they can trust people from working from home. They actually quite like having contractors and freelancers on the books, especially sort of coming out the other side of this. We don't know if the market could change. So we don't know if all of a sudden we're going to go back into level four again, and how it's all going to look for the next sort of 18 months, 2 years, or even longer, really. So with this more sort of contractor model, they're saying, look, we can actually reduce the space we have in an office, reduce our rent costs, and we can actually give that money to the people that we're employing, because obviously contractors do cost a little bit more than a permanent employee, and they can give them a little bit extra in order to go towards their, you know, electricity, their internet, those types of things. And by having a contractor and freelancing model, they can be really flexible, so when they get jobs in that they want to work on, they have the people there. But as and when we might have to go back into lockdown or something along those lines, then actually the staff can kind of disperse and go work on other projects as well. So that can be quite cost effective for businesses. So it's definitely a different model. It's really hard to kind of say what the business environment will be like moving forward, just purely because I don't know. But I would say that that's a trend that I'm seeing emerge. And it's not been all doom and gloom. You know, there are still companies out there that are still recruiting. Some are actually really thriving through this. And it's been a really good excuse, actually, for some companies to, you know, stop what was really quite unnecessary. And they've just pivoted and they've just gone all guns blazing on a certain project that they've needed for so long. And it's been fantastic for them. So, yeah, I would say that moving forward, there will still be opportunities. It isn't all doom and gloom, but we might just see different employment models.
Yeah, and that's really interesting because you mentioned that like the recruiting model, like contractor and freelancer. Before that, probably I don't know from your perspective, but from my end, it feels like New Zealand is a really mature market, but also sometimes we prefer some traditional way, and especially on finding new job or hiring some specialist. So work from home or work remotely is not a common or standard solution for the companies. But now it's like based on this impact, and also based on the uncertainties in the future, like the companies from the employer's perspective, they would like to cut the unnecessary cost or just cut the cost, and also would like to hire some really some specialists to get things done, and then move forward faster than before. So I think that's really really good mindset. And also something quite interesting is that I think last week when we have a team meeting in my current with my manager, and he also mentioned that we still need to have a contractor mindset even while in-house work as an in-house role, which means that we can find out like what the customers need even we are in-house, not face customer directly, but which means that we still need to find out what the value we can create and who's the customer and what's the expectation, things like that. Could you, because for this part, you have a lot of experience, like to switch from different models, and you can easily find the difference of these two model or two mindset. Could you explain a little bit more about if, for example, if I would like to become a contractor, or if I want to have a contractor mindset, what's the difference of working house or work as a contractor?
Yeah, sure. So obviously working, it's quite different for each contractor actually, and it also depends on what they specialize in. So generally, most of the contractors that I meet have had a solid amount of experience. So generally they would have worked in-house for a company and had a permanent role. Some of them have also come from agency backgrounds, so they're used to working at pace, working on a project by project basis. So being a contractor, you definitely have to have that mindset that you're going in to get a job done. And I think also as a contractor, they sometimes need to be aware that you don't always get the most glamorous jobs. So you go in and you work on exciting projects, but some companies really do like to keep the exciting stuff for their permanent staff, and then have contractors come in and actually, you know, seal it all up and sew it all together and actually deliver it. So depending on what the company is actually looking for, just completely depends on the contractor that they need as well. But having a contractor mindset, definitely, just, you know, you get in there, you get the job done. And a lot of the time you can have a lot of fun, you can become a real part of the team, and they can contract you back in, which I think is what a lot of the contractors I work with really like about contracting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. And speaking of this, what's the abilities or what's the skill for the current stage? Like in the future, we need to get ready for the future's uncertainty. And from us as a or from the people who's listening this podcast as a professional or specialist in some field, what are the things that don't change or still valuable for them? Because I find you also updated social media, LinkedIn, like you're writing a blog about what's the asset or what's the skill it's transitionable to the next stage of the career. Yeah, could you share some of the insights with this?
Of course. I've written the skeleton basically for my blog at the moment, and I actually had a bit of writer's block. And to be honest, as I recruit for this space, I don't pretend to be a thought leader or, you know, I don't actually practice any of this. So I really rely on people's opinions and kind of spotting trends and things like that, which is quite interesting. There are lots of skills that need to be tapped into, especially at the moment. So I've had a couple of clients, for example, say to me, look, Nikki, design is not what I need right now. But they don't realize that actually design doesn't necessarily mean traditional design anymore. That, you know, there's so many underlying skill sets that an experienced designer can have. And that can also be in the, you know, kind of facilitating workshops or something along those lines. And that can really add quick value to what they're doing. So even candidates, they've come to me and they said, you know, I don't know if I went into a role right now, what value can I say that I would add straight away? Because that's what companies are going to be looking for, considering they're, you know, having to run on these skeletons. And I'd say just tapping into other skill sets that you do have. And kind of assessing what skill sets you've had. And that doesn't necessarily mean in just the last role you had. That can be in your personal life, that can be in your work life, your most recent role, your previous roles, anything that you are really strong at doing. I would say it's not all about job titles, going for another similar but maybe a bit of a better job title anymore. It's actually really pivoting on the skill sets that you have got. So I think strategic mindsets are always something that's going to be quite needed, especially for the near future. People who can really kind of get in the dirt with their customers or, you know, with their actual companies and just do what they need, what they need in order to help the business get through. Even if it's not business as usual or you're not, it's not your classic job description that you're doing, it will be really recognized afterwards. So I'd say something that's changed would be that you really need to change your mindset when it comes to this. And you kind of have to remember as well that your manager is also going through the same thing. So when you, you know, you can be a bit unsure and you can say, oh, I don't know, this doesn't feel right, or complain about various different things, but your manager is also not sure. So I think everyone's in this together and everyone kind of needs to act that way for sure. Things that definitely haven't changed. Oh, I'd say with people looking for a new role. So, I mean, I can only comment on those in my speciality, but I'd say they still 100% need a portfolio and resume. The market will become more and more competitive now because, you know, it has flooded with candidates. So they really do need to show themselves at their best from the start. They'll also still need to be really picky on what you're looking for. So as a candidate on the market, you have your own brand. So that really needs to be taken care of. A colleague of mine in New York said, don't use the spray and pray method. and by that, he means don't apply everywhere with the same resume, the same cover letter, and pray for a callback. You still really need to be sought after. And New Zealand's such a small market, and it's even smaller in the design space. Word travels, and you definitely don't want to come across as desperate.
It's also like, especially when the contractor, when work remotely become a new norm, which means that the competition is from everywhere. Maybe sometimes not even here in New Zealand, you need to have the same standard as other designers or other specialists in outside New Zealand, like in US or UK or other countries, maybe less cost countries. So you have to have the same competition with them. So which means that, definitely a great portfolio and good resume, and or for the role you're looking for, that's quite important. And that's the things that doesn't change, right? Yeah.
No, of course. Cool. Yeah, you always need to present your best, that's for sure.
Yeah. And speaking of the as a recruiting professional with overseas experience, so sometimes and also you work before working in New Zealand, you work in UK and Australia, and also maybe some candidates are looking forward to job opportunities in other countries. So is there anything like we can see the challenge is currently like all the countries are just kind of closed at this stage, but what could be like in the middle term, maybe in this year or the next or the coming year, So what's the challenge and opportunities for the people planning to go to other countries to work? Some people were planning to go to here to go to New Zealand, or some Kiwis would like to go out to other countries. What's your suggestions or opinions about that, about for those people?
I'd say right now, you know, because of everything that's gone on, everyone has become a lot more used to technology, which I think could be a huge benefit. So, I mean, if you were to apply for a role now overseas, I honestly don't know how that would turn out. So obviously, because at the moment our borders are shut, we're unsure when they'll reopen. I know people who were due to come to New Zealand from overseas for a new role and unfortunately can't anymore. There were others that I know from here that were meant to go to the likes of Australia that have also fallen through. But I don't think it's totally off the cards. Applying or getting a role at this point, they would have to onboard you remotely anyway. So effectively, they could do that from overseas, considering the time difference isn't too insane. So if you were looking now, I would definitely recommend, for security's sake, to probably find work locally until this blows over. But once this has blown over, I actually do think that, especially in New Zealand, you mentioned earlier about, you know, Kiwis can be quite traditional in the way that they recruit. And that is very, very true. A lot of the time when I've had overseas applications and I've spoken to the client about interviewing them, they want to see them there. You know, they want to have them face to face, where actually I think because of everything that's happened and because of how much we've changed and sort of had to sort of love technology, I suppose, I think they actually would be more open to interviewing candidates overseas. And likewise, I think it would be easier for candidates here to get interviews overseas because it can be done so easily now. Everyone will be very, very used to sort of video calls and everything. But for that, there's definitely tips and tricks. So, I mean, I'm happy to talk to anybody, but it's just the basics of making sure that obviously if you're on a video call, you're still acting as though you are face to face. No getting up in your pajamas. Make sure you've got a clean background. Don't feel too comfortable just because you're in your own space and things like that. So there's lots of tips and tricks for, you know, just basics, basically, of interviewing if you're interviewing virtually.
That's a great answer. And also it's got me to another follow-up question, because you mentioned that when we currently we work from home, everyone's work from home, and it's a new experience for everyone, like what we discussed before. But from the job interviewing perspective, or from your recruiting perspective, I think there's still difference. There's still maybe not a big difference, but still something we need to think about or care about. Like if you are going to do a online job interview, things like that. Is there some tips or tricks or something you think worth to mention, like for everyone who work from home? Is there anything are there any suggestions? I don't know if I described the question correctly or clearly for you.
So basically, if you were to have an interview from home now, what would you do, type thing?
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously I mentioned a few, but they seemed very basic. I would say that a lot of them could start with a phone interview instead of a video call. So, I mean, I know that when I'm recruiting, I personally like to have a video call, even ideally face-to-face, yes, but considering the situation we're in at the moment, I really do like to have a video call. And that's for multiple reasons, to be honest. And I feel like you can really get to know someone a little bit better that way. However, some companies will say, look, let's just jump on the phone. So I would say just absolutely make sure you know who's ringing you. Have a stalk on good old LinkedIn and find out what they've done previously. There'll be rapport there's natural rapport that you build up when you're face-to-face with somebody that's a lot harder over the phone. You want to come across as confident and talkative and social, but you also don't want to come over as too chatty or kind of talk over them. And because you're not face to face, you can obviously, you know, it can be challenging when you can't read somebody's body language as of when to stop talking. So there are small challenges, but I'd say just absolutely Make sure you know who's calling you. Do your research beforehand. Do your research on the company. Really listen. Ask the questions that you need to. I think it's a unique spot that we're in at the moment, in the fact that when they're interviewing you, you will also, if you're on a virtual call and you can actually see them, you'll also be in their house as much as they're in your house. So even though it looks like a relaxed atmosphere, just, you know, still dress the way you would to an interview, still act the same, and just be as professional as you possibly can, even though you might be sitting in your front room.
Right. Yeah.
So that's probably really my word advice. I think.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of like a respect for the people you're talking to, especially the people you're not familiar with, and especially if you want to get a job with that. Yeah. So it would be good to prepare it before.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you can't help if you've got your family around you, things like that can't be helped, but I think just to address that straight away is probably the best way to approach it.
Yeah, I think that's quite valuable, quite a good suggestion. And two more questions about I just picked some questions from the people who asked me. And one of the hottest questions they discussing is which industries would have more opportunities to grow in the post COVID-19 period. So from our perspective, like from here from New Zealand, we can see, for example, like this supermarket is super busy right now. But it's only from the personal perspective. But from your perspective, like which industries would have more opportunities to grow after this?
I mean, I was actually kind of worried about this question because I really wish I had a glass ball to be able to say which companies will thrive, because I'd love to know that myself. I mean, I would say the obvious one is the digital industry. So by this, I mean everything. So especially development agencies. But overnight, companies have had to change. They've had to pivot, develop, and suddenly a project that was a nice to have has become a priority. And in case the market obviously fluctuates in the next 18 to 24 months, they need to make sure that they are, you know, sort of future-proofed for that. So I think the digital space, even sort of retail and things like that, it seems to have taken a huge hit now, but I definitely think that will pick up after this. A lot of people have had to quickly go online that otherwise haven't been. They've had to set up stores online in order to keep alive. Some restaurants I go to locally have never had takeaway, but now they're being forced to, and they are going to need someone to manage that for them. So I think there is a lot of opportunity to come from this. Other companies that will probably do quite well quickly will be strategy companies. So businesses, unfortunately, have, you know, been hit quite hard, and they're looking at this as an opportunity to sort of rebuild in the way that they want to be. You know, so they've got, they're focusing on innovation and rebuilding it with kind of, by implementing design thinking and human-centered design approaches and things like that. So I imagine strategic companies and consultancy businesses will be quite busy post-COVID. I hope. Well, I really hope that's a good answer, because I really want to know myself. So if anyone else knows, please let me know. Yeah. Apparently
that's a great answer, because personally I only thought like digital service or digital platform, and also agency would be really we can see the opportunities, but from that I didn't think the strategy companies and also consultant could be like have also a lot of opportunities and a lot of potential opportunities, because if the traditional business will start to pivot after this, and they have to, though, there will be like strategy need to redefine, and also maybe need a lot of facilitators like workshops or other things, and for the consultant they'll be quite busy, And yeah, and also like the agency who provide the digital service will be also, there could be a lot of opportunities. Yeah, that's yes. The bright side. I really like that. Yeah.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah, cool. So, and I don't want to take too much of your time, Nikki, so I really appreciate all the things. One last question. So are there any other advices for the people who's listening? Normally, it's a lot of the people in China will definitely listen to that. Some of my audience are in China, but also for local like Chinese professionals who work here in New Zealand, do you have any advices for them? Like some of them struggling in during the career transitioning, and some of them maybe still a little bit worried about the future, like uncertainties, even like the current job is fine, it's all good, but what the future will become. So are there any suggestions or advices you would like to give them?
I mean, in terms of looking for work or career transition, I would definitely say, and this could be in China or New Zealand or anywhere really, is to just take a moment and figure out exactly what skills you do have. So just because you've had a certain job before, you may not have that role anymore, you might not be sure for the future. It doesn't mean you have to go on to do exactly that role. So if you do take a step back and actually look at the skills that you could channel into other areas, you could, might be able to even apply that to different roles, which could broaden the horizon in terms of applications. If it's not a role that you would normally have gone for, but you're really excited about, just make sure you write a cover letter as to why you've applied for that role, so that they do take you seriously and they give you time. I know, to be honest, it really can be hard, but try and think of this time as a bit of a reset button too. So is there companies you've always wanted to work at? And if there are, then ask yourself why you've always wanted to work at those companies. Do you really want to be doing the same job that you've done previously at that type of company? Or are you sort of willing to take a pay cut in order to go on to a different path? Working in recruitment, I do meet a lot of people that are saying, oh, I kind of fell into this and, you know, I want to know where my career wants to go. But actually, it doesn't seem they've asked themselves if they actually want to be doing that. So definitely this is a good time to kind of reset and figure out what you want. If they're in the design space, I would say take this time to really, really finally do your portfolio. I've had quite a few people over, in the last year or so that have promised me they'll be doing their portfolios and not got around to it. And now there's almost no excuse. So if you're sitting at home, just make sure that you do present yourself. So back to the kind of personal branding, you want to be top of mind. You want to be the person that they think of, even if you're not right for that particular role that they've advertised for. You know, they know who to go to should a role that's more suited to you come up. And lastly, I'd probably say to just be human. I think everyone can take away from this whole situation, that everyone is human. Everyone is really feeling the impact of this. And also, you don't know how this has affected the person sitting opposite you too. So. In work, you definitely want to stay professional. You want to use the right language and all that type of thing. But if someone really is having an off day or they're late sending something back, I'd say take a moment to remember that everyone's human and that they could be struggling. And good karma comes back around too. So be nice, be kind.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, just more humanity and also like empathize for the one you're talking, and be nice. That's great. And how can if anyone who's interested in reach out, how can they find you? Which is the best way to contact you?
So I'm very active on LinkedIn. So it's Nikki Allen at Salt Recruitment New Zealand. I'm very easy to find and talk to on there. And otherwise, I'm more than happy. Well, Bear, you've got all my contact details anyway, so I'm happy for you to pass them on to anyone who wants to have a chat.
Right, cool. Thank you, Nikki. Thank you so much. Awesome. And yeah, that's all. And later. And for the people who's listening, I will add the contact in the show note of this podcast. And if you guys have any questions, just ask me or reach out with LinkedIn to Nikki. Yeah, thank you guys, and I will see you next in the next episode.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.